The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Tetzaveh. In the Parsha, we have in Perikov Ches, in the beginning of the Seder, Ve'ato ha'krev elecho es aren ochicho, ve'zbon of yek, v'tenei Yisrael lechan oili. And you shall bring close to yourselves Aaron, your brother, and his sons, together with him, from within Bnei Yisrael, that they shall serve me, they shall be my kohanim. Aaron odov aviu alozer v'isoma Bnei Aaron. And you shall make for Aaron big day kodesh, garments of sanctity for Aaron your brother, lekoved ulisiforis, that shall be for an honor and for beauty. Then the Torah lists the special begodim. There are a total of 8 begodim, 8 garments for Aaron, who was the Kohen Gadol, and 4 garments for the sons, for the Kohanim. Now on the 8th big day kohuna of the Kohen Gadol, it states, Eila begodim asher yasu, this is what you shall make, the choshen, the ephod. The choshen was a breastplate, the ephod was the Beggar Ha'elyain, the altar robe that he wore. Me'il was a robe which he wore underneath, saying his tashbates. This was another garment which he wore beneath that, next to his skin. Mitznefes, a turban, the avnate, and a belt. And then later on, it states that he should also have a tzitz. The tzitz was a plate which he wore on his forehead, and the mechmesayim, these were trousers, short trousers. And then the Torah gives us a description. For example, it states, V'osu esa eifod zohob tcheles v'algomon tala ashoni v'sheish moshazor ma'asei choshev. The majority of the garments were made with material, they were woven, and the threads came from, which was the tcheles, this was wool, which was dyed with the blood of the chalozim, a certain type of animal which lived in the sea. And this was a sky blue. Argomon, these were threads which were dyed purple. Salashoni, threads, again wool, woolen threads which were dyed scarlet. Sheish Moshezor, this was twined linen. And Zahav in gold. What was done is there were 6 strands from each of these, from the 4 different materials. This, the tehelis, the sky blue, and the purple, and the scarlet, and the linen. And each of the 6 strands were twined, and then they were twined all together. So you had 24 strands. And with each group, a strand of gold was placed together. Now this was real gold. It was gold, which it was cut, golden threads from a piece of gold. So there was one piece of gold, which each of the 4 groups. So this gives us what is known as Kofel Chavches, that it was twined 28 times. And with this, the begodim, the garments were woven. So they were very, extremely lavish and beautiful. The Torah tells us, well, just very briefly to give an idea of what we're speaking about here. The ephod was the Beggar Ha'elyon, as we mentioned, the outer robe, and it was made with all of these materials that mentioned. And then there were two precious stones on each shoulder, which was in a gold casing. And these stones were known as an Avnei Shoham. Some translate that as an onyx stone. And on the stones were engraved the names of the 12 tribes. The Choshen, the breastplate, this was a very, very special garment. This, again, was woven in the same manner as the other. And then a gold casing was placed in it. And 12 precious stones, four rows, three in each row, Arba Turim, was placed in this gold casing. And there was the diamond and the emerald and the ruby and so forth. Torah lists these stones. And on each of these 12 stones was engraved. Actually, when we say engraved, it was in protruding letters. The names of the 12 Shvatim, of the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Yaakov. There was the Me'il. Incidentally, the Choshen was worn on the chest of the Kohen Gadol, and it was extended there through gold chains which connected to the shoulders of the ephod. Then there was the Me'il. The Me'il was Kalil Tchelis. This was made entirely out of the wool of the, which was from the Chalozon, this sky blue wool, and was placed over the neck of the Kohen Gadol. This was second garment. And on the bottom of the Me'il were what was known as Rimonim and Hamon. The Rimon was made of the woolen material which mentioned, and it was called Rimon, which means pomegranate, because they were like round balls. And in between each Rimon was a Pamein Zov, a golden bell. So it was full of bells also. And it states, Nitmakele bevayal ha-kodesh lifnei Hashem b'tzeisrei. And the Gadol would go into the Kodesh, into the sanctuary, could hear him coming, because the bells would ring. There was the tzitz. The tzitz was a plate of gold, Zohov Tohor, pure gold, and it was placed on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, and on it was engraved Kodesh Lashem, that it was holy to Hashem, with Hashem's name. It was held on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol because it had bands which went over his turban, and that's just how it was attached to him and on the sides. And it was worn on his forehead, and his turban, the mitznefes, was worn above that. And the Gemara says that there was a place in between this gold band and the turban where he could place his tefillin shorosh, where he would put his tefillin. Incidentally, in the Choshen that we mentioned, the breastplate, there the Torah tells us that he would be placed there, the Urim V'Tumim, that was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's full name, was written out, and was placed within the folds of the breastplate. And on particular difficult questions that the Sanhedrin couldn't answer, or many times, for example, if they would want to know if they should go to war or not, so they would ask this in front of the Kohen Gadol, and this would bring answers to them. We have the Vikshenis, Tashbeitz. This was made of linen, and this was the garment which was worn against his skin. We have the Avnet. The Avnet again was made from all of the materials that we mentioned. And this was a wide belt which was wrapped around him many times, and this was worn high up on him. The Gemara says it was near the heart. And then we have the Michnei Zevad. The Michnei Sevad states, "Va'asei lahem Michnei Sevad lechaseis b'shar ervo." that he would wear short trousers to cover his nakedness. Bimosnaim v'ad yerechaim yiyu, and this would extend from the loins to the thighs. So these are the eight begodim which the Kohen Gadol would wear when he would do the avodah, when he would serve in the Beis Hamikdash. The regular Kohanim, they also had begodim, the garments, but they had only four, and they were not at all as lavish. They were beautiful, but not as beautiful as that of the Kohen Gadol. The Gemara says in Masechta Erechin, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, and in Zvachim, Pei Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us as follows. Yomer Rab, Inoni Bar Shoshan, Loma Nismacho Parshish Kobones, Le Parshish Big De Kuhuna. Why do we find that when the Torah gives us the commands and the instructions to make the garments for the Kohen Gadol, why do we find this is written right together with the Korbonos, with the sacrifices, which follow right afterwards? Leimaloch, to tell you, Ma Korbonos Mechaprin, Abigde Kohuna Mechaprin. We know that when the Kohanim would bring sacrifices, this would bring a kapora. This would bring an atonement to the sins of Klal Yisrael. Every court, every sacrifice for a particular atonement. But what we didn't know is that the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments of the Kohen Gadol, this would seemingly have nothing to do with atonement. So the Gemara tells us this is why they are placed in proximity of each other. That just like the Korbonos HaMechaperin, the Korbonos atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael, the Bigdei Kohuna, when the Kohen Gadol would put his begodim, his garments on, that also would atone for the sins of Klal Yisrael. Then the Gemara itemizes. Ksenis mechaperes al shvichas dam. The ksenis, which was the first garment worn against the skin, that would atone for bloodshed. And the Gemara brings a proof from a posuk. The posuk by Yosef and his brothers. Michnasayim, the trousers that he would wear, that would be mechaperes al gilei arayos. That would bring a kapor, an atonement, for sins of adultery and incest. As it states, Vaseleh michnasavayim, michnasei bad, lechaseis is besar erbo. Mitznefes, the turban, mechaperes al gasei haruach. This would atone on the gasei haruach, on haughtiness, arrogance. Omer b'chanina, yovei dove shebegeva, v'yichaper al geva. The turban was worn on some, it was a high point of the person. Let that, what is worn on the high point of the person, let that come and be mechaper, atone for the arrogance of the individual, where he holds himself high and haughty. Avnate, the belt, this was the belt which was wrapped around, this belt made out of material that was wrapped around him. Mechaper al hiru halev. This would atone for hiru halev. Hiru halev is the thoughts of the heart when one is mahare al midas shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When one tries to assess, or he tries to, he tests the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with him or other people or the world. In other words, he states, well, this was not right what Hashem did. Why does he do this? Why does he do that? Why is he bringing punishment and so forth? Or why is he so good to that person and not good to me? This is called Hiru Halev. Mahara Achamidus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now that comes from the heart. So therefore the Avnate, the belt that was worn near the heart, would be its atonement. Eichod Iso. Choshen, the breastplate. The Torah refers to the Choshen as the Cheshen Mishpat, the breastplate of judgment. Why? To tell us it was Mechaper al Adinim,
Al Kilkul Hadin, when there was a distortion of justice that came from the Sanhedrin or from the Bezdin, the Batei Dinim in Klal Yisrael, had to be atoned for. The Choshen, the breastplate, would be its atonement. Ephod, the Ephod, this was the Beged HaElyon, his outer garment, would be Machaper al Averis Kechovim. This would atone for idolatry. Shneamar ein Ephod usrofim. Gemara brings a proof, because it's mentioned in Isaiah where we were speaking about idolatry. Me'il, the me'il was the middle garment which had the bells on it. It would be machaper aloshen hora. This would be atoned slander, loshen hora, when one man speaks badly about another person. Why? Omer achanina yovei dovei shebekol v'yechaper alakol. Because let something that has a sound to it, that has voices to it, these were the bells, come and atone for something else which has a sound to it, man's speech. Tzitz, the tzitz was the gold plate which was worn on his forehead, mechaper al azish ponim. This would bring kapora to azus. Azus is brazenness. Brazenness, chutzpah, is azus. As it states, v'hoi al meitzech arayn, because it was worn on the forehead. And the forehead is a simon, is a sign of brazenness, as it states, u'meitzech isha zeina. The harlot was referred to as someone with a brazen forehead. No shame. So, the Gemara tells us, firstly, that just as the korbanos, the sacrifices, atone, so do the begodim, the garments of the Kohen Gadol, when the Kohen Gadol would wear them when serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the sanctuary. And then it tells us, in particular, what each garment atones for. The Gemara itself, taken at face value, doesn't have too much clarity or explanation as to why should the garments atone, and why are we speaking about these averus in particular, and why should each one atone for these averus. But the Maharal Prague has a very, very wonderful biur on this, and which I would like to go into this evening. This is found in Nagoras HaShas in Zvochim, and also in Perek Yud Aleph in the Siva Loshen. He speaks a bit about it there also. He says as follows, that when a person does a chet, a person does an avera, actually that avera becomes like a labush, like a garment for himself. Just like the person has a soul, and he was given a guf, a body, and the body encloses the soul, and the whole body becomes like a labush, like a garment for the soul. What he does, his actions cause more labush, they cause more garments. If they are averus, so it causes what is known as bigdei tzaim, unclean garments, garments of tumah, garments of impurity, that cover him and clothe him. If they're mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, then they become kelevushim tahorim, they become garments of purity and garments of sanctity for himself and his soul. When the Kohen Gadol would put on these bigdei kodesh, these garments of sanctity, and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Torah tells us it was a mitzvah saseh, it was a positive commandment for the Kohen Gadol to put these garments on. The fact is, there was a terrible punishment to the Kohen Gadol if he would serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu without his proper garments. So when he would perform this mitzvah, and this was l'shem l'tiferes, it states, l'kovel l'tiferes, for the great honor and beauty of the Beis HaMikdash and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So firstly, these would be mekadesh u'metaher. They would be metaher, they would purify himself and sanctify himself. And they would atone for the other levushim, the other garments which he had on himself, which came from averus, which would come from sins. That was firstly. But secondly, the Kohen Gadol was not a private individual. All of the Kahanim were representatives of Klal Yisrael. And the Kohen Gadol in particular. He was the Shluchei HaKohol. He was the emissary, the representative of Yisrael. He would go and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was on behalf of Kol Yisrael. So therefore, when he would put on these garments, in effect what was taking place, as if all Israel were putting on these garments. So whatever would have happened to him would happen to all of Israel. Therefore, by putting these garments on and being Metayah and Mekadesh, purifying himself and sanctifying himself, and it would sanctify and atone any levushim, any garments that he might have on that had come from Averus, so in effect would it be as if Klal Yisrael is putting on all of these garments and purifying and atoning themselves from Averus. So that is what is meant, just like when the Kohen Gadol would bring a korban, he would bring the sacrifices. This was a sacrifice be'ad kol beis Yisrael. This was for all of Yisrael. So this is what is meant, kivshem shahakorbonis mechaprim, just like the sacrifices atone, kach habegodim mechaprim, so were these garments, did they also atone. That's the basic principle. Now next is that the Gemara itemizes, we're dealing with eight garments, the ches big de kuna. The Gemara itemizes that they all correlate to eight averus. And the Gemara mentions what the averus are. Now, what is the significance of these? So firstly, the Maral says as follows. First, we have mentioned in the Gemara what is known as the Gimel Chamures, the three most serious averus, which is Aveiros Zora, Shvichas Domim, and Gila Arayis. Idolatry, bloodshed, and adultery and incest. What is the significance of these three? This is something which he has taught us in many, many places. The person is made up of three parts. He has his seichel and his machshava, his intellect, thinking process. Then he has what is known as the nefesh. The nefesh is the life which HaKadosh Baruch Hu imbued him with, and everything that comes from that. And from there comes all of the emotions. And then he has what is known as the guf. And the guf is the chemer. He was made from matter. This is his physical body. Kodesh Baruch Hu made a physical body and he imbued it with a nefesh, with a life, and he imbued it with a seichel, with the intellect and the thinking process, of which there he can connect himself to a spiritual world, because the thinking process is something, the thoughts are non-physical. And each one has its major role in the human being and what he does. And each section relates to particular mitzvahs and particular averus. The avera hamura shebeseichel, the most serious avera that a person can do with his mind, is avera zora, idolatry. Idolatry is the avera of the mind, because it's recognizing, believing in other gods. Just like what is its antithesis? To have total faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Faith is dependent in the mind. So the avera hamura, the greatest avera of the mind, of the intellect, is avera zora, idolatry. He believes in Elohim Acherim, gods of others. The greatest avera of the nefesh is shfichas domim, is bloodshed. Because that's the bitul ha-nefesh. That's the destruction of life in a person. The Gemara says that Hadam hu hanefesh. Excuse me, it's not the Gemara. It's Psukim in the Torah states ki Hadam hu hanefesh. Torah says that the nefesh, if we can find a place that holds it, this would be in the blood. And that's why Ritzicha, murder, is always referred to as Shvichas Domim. See, you spilled his blood. If a person, heaven forbid, will kill someone, so he is destroying an nefesh. This is the hate of the nefesh. And further, is what causes murder? What causes murder is sina, hatred, kas, anger, kina, jealousy, nekima, revenge. These are all are emotions that come from the nefesh or adam. So therefore, ritzicha is the avera chamura, the most serious avera of the nefesh adam. And then you have the gufa adam, the physical body of man. The avera chamura, the most serious avera, there is gilui arayis. Gilui arayis is what is classified as adultery and incest. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Seita that adultery, this is classified if a person's desires go uncontrolled, then this is classified as an animalistic act, because he has not elevated himself and sanctified the desires, but he has let his body rule. Just like by an animal, where the body rules, except in an animal, that's not a shortcoming, because this is how Kodesh Baruch Hu created the animal. But when it comes to a human being, this is the greatest degradation of the human being. This is why it states that when Klal Yisrael were in Mitzrayim, they were in Egypt, the two nations were totally contrary to each other. Because on Mitzrayim was Shtufim Mizima. They were sunk into the depths of all types of animalistic acts. And the Prophet said on them, Ki b'sorim b'sar chamorim, their flesh is the flesh of donkeys. Well, Klal Yisrael, on the Klal Yisrael it states, B'nei Yisrael kedoshim hein. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, my children, they're sanctified. So there were two hafechim, two nations that were totally contrary of each other. These are the three avedas that relate to the three different parts of the human being. We find that on these three avedas in the Torah, they are different than all others. Because when it comes to all other avedas, it states, v'chai bohem v'leisha yomus behem. One is not obligated or not even allowed under normal circumstances to give his life for other averas. If a person is sick and it comes Yom Kippur, he's not allowed to fast. If a person has to go to the hospital on Shabbos, then he must go, and so forth. But when it comes to these three averas, there is no din v'chai bohem v'leish yomus behem, but the halach is yehorik bal yavor. He has to give his life before transgressing one of these three averas. And the reason for it is because these three averas are so serious that the avera totally destroys that area of the human being. So there is no purpose in transgressing it to save his life, because that destroys his life. Therefore, this is the significance of these three averas, which are mentioned in the Gemara. Then there's a fourth avera, which the Gemara tells us is even more chomer, more difficult and more serious than these three. What can that be? And then the Gemara tells us is Loshon Hara. It states that Loshon Hara, when someone speaks badly about another person to other people, And by doing this, he slanders his name, or he degrades his name. This is classified as Lashon Hara. This is, if it's true, certainly if it's a lie, then it's Metzi Shemra. But this is speaking basically where it is true. This is Chomor, this is more serious than all three. And the Gemara says that a mesaper, this is a Gemara in Erechin Tesvov of Medeis, Tano, Debeire Bishmul, Kala Mesaper Lashon Hara. Whoever speaks Lashon Hara, Magdel Aveinesov, Kineged Aveirizorish, Vichazdomim Gilarais. His Aveirus, for someone who's speaking Lashon Hara, and this especially refers to the Baal Lashon Hara, that's the one who habitually speaks Lashon Hara. So his Aveirus are weighed up equally to all three of what we mentioned. Idolatry, bloodshed, and Gilarais, and the adultery and incest. Now why is this? Moral says, because the other three Averas relate to one section of the human being. But the human being is not sectionalized. He's a person in totality. Kodesh Baruch Hu made one out of the person. He's not a robot that has three compartments or three motors. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made one out of the person, what did he become? So it states in the Maaseh Bereishis in Perek Beis, Vayitzar Adam Ofer Min Adama, Kodesh Baruch Hu formed man from the dust of the earth. This was the Chomer, the matter. Vayipach Ba'abov Nishmas Chayim, and he blew in his nostrils a living soul. All right. Now what became of this? Vayodam Vayodam LeNefesh Chayim. And man became what was known as a nefesh chaya, a living nefesh. Now what was the final result? This living nefesh. So the Targum says, Vahavas nefesh de insho leruach memalo. He became a nefesh, he became a being that is a medaberes, a speaker. So we see that the sum total of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu made was the medaber, the speaker. The reason for that is because when a person did an act, like we mentioned, these were averas, but there are mitzvahs also, that would relate to one area of the human being. So basically it related to one. Although it's impossible that everything shouldn't get into the play, but basically it related to one. But when a person speaks, this relates equally to every part of the human being. A person cannot speak if he has no seichel or machshava, without thought process. And he cannot speak if he has no nefesh, if he was not given the breath of life and the emotional system. And he cannot speak if he was not given physically a mouth and a tongue and so forth. I mentioned many times, this is something which modern science discovered many, many years ago. That a problem in thinking that will affect the speech, an emotional problem will affect the speech, and or a physical problem will affect the speech. And this was the perfection of the powers of the human being united together. He became the speaker, the medaber. This we see from Achazal, because whenever they refer to the human being, for example, if they refer to a tree, they'll call it a tzemeach, something which grows. They refer to a stone, they'll call it a demim, something which is silent. They'll refer to something which lives, like an animal, they'll refer to it as a balchai, something which has life. To man, they refer to as the medaber, the speaker. And contrary to popular thought, it's only words. Therefore, the words of a human being are his greatest gift, his most powerful gift. Therefore, if he does mitzvahs with the power of speech, if he speaks some Torah, he gives encouragement to other people, he does chesed, that's called odom, that's the entire person. But on the other hand, if he does averus with it, in other words, Lashon Hara, he destroys people's reputation with his words, or he destroys their enhancement that they have in the eyes of other people, then this is the greatest avera. And that's why it states, kolam esapet Lashon Hara, those who speak Lashon Hara, magdel aveinas, their avera is as great as all three of the Gimel Chamuras, of the three series of averas we mentioned before. Now, so that's the fourth avera, which is mentioned in the Gemara. Now, the Gemara says, we have another four averas, which are like tolodes, avizrayos, which are connected to the four we mentioned. The four that we mentioned are like the oves. They are like the foundations. But there are another four which are related. They're not as serious at all. But nevertheless, they are related. And they are an outgrowth or linked to the first four which we mentioned. And these are the other four that the Gemara mentions. And it's a total of eight. It mentions, for example, Gasei Ruach. Gasei Ruach is arrogance. What is that related to? Brings the Gemara and Seder, the Avtalet on the base that states, Gasei Ruach, the Gasei Ruach, maybe Lidei Ni'uf. That arrogance brings one to adultery. So it's related to the Gila Arayis. It seems strange. Why should arrogance bring one to adultery? So the Maral explains this there in the Sechta Sota. Because you have people in the world who are very cognizant and conscious of other people's rights and other people's property. This actually comes from a quality of humility, because they realize that they're not the only ones in the world, there are other people also. But you have certain people in the world that seem to be blind to other people's rights and other people's property. For example, sometimes you have a criminal and he wants what you have, so he takes it. If, heaven forbid, you don't give it to him, he'll take the person's life too. Now here the problem is, today they like to say that the problem came from the neighborhood or from his upbringing or whatever it might be. The problem is a different problem. The problem is he thinks he's the only one in the world. He has rights, but no one else has rights. In fact, just today, they even, when you try to do something against these people, right away they start yelling about their constitutional rights. The adulterer is someone who does not recognize anybody else's rights. He recognizes no gvulim. And he's prepared even to take the wife of his fellow man. And this comes from an enormous self-centeredness, which is cherish. Its source is in Gasei Ruach, arrogance. Where he's so important that he can take whatever he wants, regardless of others, regardless of what they have or who belongs to who. And therefore, the Gemara says, Gasei Ruach maybe lei ni'uf. If a person is too arrogant, then he can come to become an adulterer. So this is a tolodo, this is a branch of Gila Arayis. Then we have another avera, which the Gemara mentions is Hira Alev. Hira Alev, excuse me, could we close some of those windows? I think it's too drafty for some of the people. Hira Alev, we mentioned that's Mahara Acha Midesav Shalakodesh Baruch Hu. That a person tries to have second thoughts against the actions of Hashem. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is not right. He should have given me this and not him. Why is he so good to him and not to me? And why is he doing that to him? And so forth and so on. Hira Alev is not at all Avodah Zarah. It's not idolatry. But it's a toledah. It's an outgrowth. Because what is emunah? Faith. We are obligated to have faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It states tomim tia im Hashem Elokecha, that you should have faith with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the fullness, to the totality. Tomim tia doesn't mean that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to you, then you're a servant, then you're good to him. It means that under all circumstances, we are his servants. We serve him. We give him the fullness of our heart and belief. If someone doesn't, this already is starting on the road to idolatry, where he gives his heart, he gives his mind to other gods. Fact is, it's brought that the Hasidim, it states, the Hasidim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the righteous of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're mekabel akol bi'ava, they accept their lot. Not that they merely accept their lot, they accept it bi'ava, with love. And it states, shmeichim bi'yisurein. With joy do they accept the difficulties which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to them. So therefore, this is linked to Avodah Zarah. Then the Gemara mentioned the Mu'uvis V'Kilchul Adin. If the distortion of justice, this is linked to Shvichas Domim, to the spilling of blood. Why? The Gemara says, Agezul Shava Pruta Mechaverei Ki Ilu Neitul Mimeno es nafshoi. So Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Yutes Omer Aleph. If you take something from your friend, it's as if you take his life from him. If you take something from him which does not belong to you. And therefore this is linked to Shvichas Domim, to the spilling of blood. And further, this is far worse when it's done through a dying, through judges, or through the courts. This is what we're referring to here, the kilkul hadin, the distortion of justice. Because when a ganav does it, a gazlan does it, he's breaking the law, all right. It's not something that's kosher at all, but okay. But when a dying does it, a judge, the Gemara brings Omar Reb Shimon ben Nachmeni, Sanhedrin Daf Zayin Amar Aleph, Omar Reb Yenison called Dain Shenaitel Momen Mizeva Naitel Lezeh Hashem Yisborach Geva Mimena Nefoshes. If you have a judge that illegally takes money from one and gives it to the other, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge through Nefoshes by taking lives, because there he is upsetting the whole justice system in the world. The Dayonim, the judges and the courts, it's the Bezdin was always referred to as Elokim. Kamishpat Elokim. And he's upsetting the whole justice system which HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in the world. And this justice system are the boundaries of Yosher, of what is upright. And therefore it states, Kol Dain Shadon Din Emes Lamitai Nase Keshutav. When you have a dying and he executes the judgments properly, he becomes a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the creation of the world. Because justice, law, which came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the perfection of right and wrong. And he's upholding it. These are the gevulim, these are the boundaries, the limitations of the world. So it becomes very serious business when you have a court that becomes mekulkel, that becomes crooked. Or, the Maral writes, even if you have a court that does not have the perseverance to pursue into the Eimek HaDin, to the depth of the Din, the depth of justice, they are upsetting the whole HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And this becomes linked to Shvichas Domim, to that of bloodshed. And then, the eighth one, which is mentioned in the Gemara, is Azponim, Azus. Azus is brazenness, chutzpah. What is this linked to? And that the Maral says is linked to Loshon Hora. Because the Gemara does refer to Loshon Hora as chutzpah. Why? Because a person, unfortunately, Loshon Hora is looked at something which is comparatively light. It's actually enormously brazen. A person is not afraid to speak Loshon Hora about his fellow man. Whether it's true, or certainly if it's lies. This means he's not afraid to destroy his fellow man. Because what is he doing? He's destroying his name. And it states, Shem Tev Eila Al Kulono. The greatest possession that a person has is his good name. Physical possessions he has in this world, and he leaves in this world. But the Shem Tov, his good name, his reputation, his honor that goes with him forever, long after he's left this world. And when a person says Loshon Hora against another person, by destroying his name, he's destroying him. Not only that, but he brings machlekes. It's a pasuk in Mishle by Shlema HaMelech where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says by Klal Yisrael that on six Averas I was ready to wave, but not the seventh. What was the seventh? When there was machlekes brought between the Achim, between the brothers of Israel. And the Baal Loshon Hora is the Baal Machlekes. By speaking Loshon Hora, he brings machlekes. And he causes pirud, he causes dissension. Instead of uniting people. So here you have someone, in a very easy manner, he's prepared to destroy someone's name, and to bring machlekes, and to bring dissension. Is there a chutzpah gedele mizu? Can there be a greater chutzpah? And generally, they do it under the guise also that it's a mitzvah. It's a tzidkis, it's a righteousness. Therefore, when the Gemara says, Asponim is one of the Averas, this he says is the one that's linked to the Loshon Hora. So we have the four basic Averas. That's the three Chamuras. Averas Oris, Shvichas Domim, Gilah Ra'is. Idolatry, the spilling of blood. And that of incest and adultery. And then that was the basic three. And then the fourth one, Loshon Hora, which is Keneged Kulam, which equals those three. That's the four. And then we have a four secondary Averus, which are linked to those. And that is the Gasei Ruach, the arrogance, which the Gemara says that brings one to adultery, doesn't recognize any rights of others whatsoever. Hiru ha, or what belongs to, or who belongs to who. Hiru Halev, having afterthoughts at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas, what he does, this is of the Emunah, this is a secondary Avera of Averizora. Kilhul Hadin, the distortion of justice, this is a secondary Avera of Shvichas Domim, of bloodshed, and Asponim, brazenness, this is the secondary Avera of Loshon Hora. So these are the eight which are mentioned in the Gemara. Now, how do they come down to the garments? Well, we have as following.
The Gemara brings Ksenes is Keneged Shvichas Damim. The Ksenes was the garment which was worn against the flesh of the Kohen Gadol. That relates to the Aveira of Shvichas Damim, of the spilling of blood, because that was positioned right on the flesh and the blood of the person. The Beger HaTachta, the undergarment. Then you had your michnasayim, the trousers. And the Gemara says that was lechasish b'sarevo, to cover his nakedness. That is related to the Aveira, that atoned for the Aveira of Gilarais, of adultery and incest. Then you had your ephod. The ephod, the Gemara says, the ephod was the Beger Elyon, the outer garment. This was atoned for Aveira Zora, for idolatry. The Maral doesn't explain why, but perhaps the reason could be is because the Gemara tells us in general, Rabbi Yechanan said Masechta Shabbos, the Leilam Leikarisi, as he says, I never called my garments clothing, but Machbedesai, but I called them my honor. Because it's clothing which give honor to a person. Now, when we say that clothing gives honor to a person, there's different types of clothing which are worn for different purposes. Some clothing is utilitarian, say. Some clothing, the Gemara says, is machmas azeya, just to absorb a person's sweat. Those are not the clothing which gives honor to the person. So what gives honor to the person? What gives honor to the person is the beger or elyon. The outer garment, because the Gemara says, what is honor? Honor is klape ha'am. Honor is what others see. So the ephod represented basically the honor, the kovet. The kovet is linked to Aveidah Zorah, to idolatry, if it's not used properly. Why? Firstly, is Maral says in many places, kovet is something very hard to define. A person wants honor. It's a quest for honor, a quest for glory. What is it? Is it something to eat? Is it something to drink? Is it money? Some people want it because through this they can get money. But the honor itself, he writes, the honor itself is actually a desire of the seichel. We mentioned you have the desires of the physical body. You have the desires of the emotions. But honor, the quest for honor, is actually an intellectual quest. See, it's the desire. You're talking, the honor itself is something which is non-physical. It's the desire of the intellect. Aveira Zora, we mentioned, is the Aveira of the intellect. This is the sin of the intellect. When a person starts to believe in things he shouldn't believe in alien gods. Secondly, the honor is the essence of Aveda Zorah. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you must give me honor. V'nigdashti b'seich Edo, you must sanctify me b'seich b'nei Yisrael, in b'nei Yisrael. This is the Kiddushim Shemayim b'farheshya. You must give me honor. What is the Aveda Zorah? Is when you start giving honor to alien gods. So therefore, the Aveira Zorah is intertwined with honor when it's used improperly. The ephod was the what gave honor to the Kohen Gadol, and this was the mitzvah. Therefore, it atoned on Aveira Zorah. Then we have the me'il. The me'il, the Gemara says, was mechaper, atoned for Loshon Hora. And that the Gemara itself gives the reason. Because the meal had the belts. Yomei dover shebekol, v'yechaper al dover shebekol. Let that what has sound comes and atone for the Aveda which has sound, which has a voice. The choshen was the breastplate, and that is mechaper on the kilkul hamishpot, the distortion of justice,
between man and his fellow man, and that the Torah itself called Choshen HaMishpat. Now, why is this? Again, the Maral doesn't explain it, but I think the reason is evident. The Choshen was worn on the lave, states. It should be worn on the lave of the Kohen Gadol. We said that the Kilkel Hadin, the distortion of justice that was distorting and destroying the Yosher, the uprightness which HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed in the world. He made a world of uprightness. He made a world of Yosher, of what is right and what is wrong. These are the building the boundaries he gave to the world. And the one who distorts the Deen distorts this and destroys this. Now, where does distortion of justice come from? It does not come from the Seichel. You should know the Seichel is straight. A person's intellect is Baruch Hashem very, very straight. If he uses it. And this is the objectivity. The distortion of justice comes from subjectivity, not from objectivity. When a person allows, when it comes to the justice, to the deen, a person allows other emotions to come into the judgment. For example, many times you hear, look, it really should go to Shimon, but Reuben is my good friend. See? Now the Torah constantly warns the judges. What does it state? It says, you're not allowed to have compassion when it comes to justice. Because you have the compassion to one, you're hurting the other one. You're not allowed to favor the poor. You favor the poor, but so therefore what? You're allowed to steal from the rich. Not when it comes to justice. You're not allowed to favor the rich. State you're not allowed to fear any man. You're not allowed to take payment in money for the judgments. Now all of these are all emotions of the heart. Fear is an emotion of the heart. Rahmanis, compassion, is an emotion of the heart. To favor one is emotion of the heart. Tikach sheichat, chemdes momen, desire for money. This comes from the heart. And the Gemara tells us, it says, "Ahava v'hasino mekalkeles es ashura." Love and hatred distorts what is right. You have a love for a child, you always want to take his side, regardless if he's right or wrong. It distorts what is right and wrong. Sina, hatred. You have hatred for someone. You never want to take a side. He's always wrong. So this means as follows. That which is yosher, to see that what is straight and that what is not straight, that comes from the intellect of the person. But the problem is when he floods the judgment with the lave, with the emotions that are coming from the lave. He starts to interject into the judgment his hatreds or his envies or his desires or his loves. That's the Kilkul Adin. And therefore Aaron was told to wear the Cheshen Mishpat Alibay on his heart. And this would atone for the Kilkul, for the distortion of the justice. Then we have the Mitznefes. Mitznefes was the turban. And then that, the Gemara says, that would atone for the gasei ruach. That would atone for gasei ruach, the arrogance. Yovei dovei shebegeva v'yechaper al dovei shebegeva. What is worn on high, that should come and give kapora to the gasei ruach, to the, those who hold themselves high. It's interesting, because the mitznefesh was the hat. The hat was always considered the crown of the person. A king, to signify a king, he didn't wear a special badge on his arm. See? He didn't wear a something on his chest. That he could have done also. But what was the to signify the king? That was the crown on his head. Because that was to show that he was higher than other people. So therefore it would be worn on the highest point of the person. And a hat is to show how great the person is, how high. So therefore the Kohen Gadol would wear this mitznefes of kedusha, of sanctity, to atone for the gasei ruach to those who hold themselves high and haughty. The abnate, and the abnate, the Gemara merely says also, it says the belt, that was atoned for the hiru halev, for this that a person has second thoughts after what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, because that also was worn right near the heart. And then finally, it states the tzitz. The tzitz was the golden plate which he wore on his forehead, which had Kodesh Hashem, and that came to be mechaper for Azponim. That was for the Azus, the Chutzpah. And the Gemara brings that wherever it would be described, someone with chutzpah, with brazenness, he would be called Azish Metzach, a forehead of brazenness. Now, what is the significance of this? Is because the forehead is the most frontal point of the person. When he walks, or if he's aggressive, his forehead goes first. And brazenness, that's aggressiveness. The Gemara brings Havi Az Kinomer. Brazenness actually can be a mitzvah also. It says when a person comes to mitzvahs and it comes to Torah, he has to show great motivation and great aggressiveness. He can't be too reserved, too held back. It says that the animal which has the greatest degree of brazenness is the leopard. It's written on the leopard that he'll never retreat. If you shoot him, he'll still come forward. If you shoot him again, he'll still come forward. Can't wound him. Only when he's totally out, down and out, then he stops. Now, when a person is aggressive, it's his forehead that leads. And that's why it's referred to as Azus Meitzach. This is just the opposite the Gemara brings of the Mid of Busha. The Mid of Busha is the quality of shame, of bashfulness, or tznius, that of modesty to be concealed. Because the Meitzach, the forehead, is the most revealed, it's in front. While to have the midah of modesty or the midah of busha is to be concealed. So these are the two opposites. So therefore the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead this plate of gold, and this was mechaper, this atoned on the Azus Meitzach, on the brazenness of Klal Yisrael when it was used not properly. So these are the explanations in the 8 Bigde Kohuna, garments of the Kohen Gadol, and what the Gemara says that Ma Korbonis Mechaprin of Bigde Kohen Mechaperis, that just like the sacrifices atoned, so the garments of the Kohen Gadol atoned when he put them on to be avid to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis Hamikdash.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.